The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Yo, yo, welcome back to a UAB Director's Chair. He's the athletic director of your UAB Blazers, Mark Ingram, with that big old smirk and grin on his face. He's a happy camper this week. And what just happened? What happened? Let me set the scene. Yeah, I mean, and by the way, Ryan Silverfield, who I think is a really good coach for Memphis, said after the game that it wasn't that we were looking towards a bye week or had nothing to do with that. We got out-coached. So I obviously, as a UAB Blazer fan, I would say if you're looking for a coach, maybe you should start with what the one you got right now. And I'm sure you're probably going to do that. But that's amazing. It's amazing.
I am thrilled for the team and for the coaches, for our fans. I am thrilled. It was such a lift. It was like this pressure valve, you know, opened up, and maybe everybody can just take a breath and recognize that the sky hasn't fallen. We have some good football players, and we have some good coaches. And sometimes it's just a different voice. Sometimes it's just hearing the same thing differently. I remember I told somebody once, I remember my dad would always, like dads do, give advice. And I had this neighbor, this man next door, sometimes he would say the exact same thing to me. But I took it differently because it came from him instead of my own father, who had told me the exact same thing. Yep. And sometimes there is a little bit of that. But I will also tell you that Alex Mortensen did a tremendous job last week, which was a really difficult week. Let's forget the game. So really difficult week. He did a great job with the players and with the staff. And honestly, I don't know that I want to say he surprised. Yeah, he surprised me. I mean, it's not that I didn't think he was capable of those things. I've just not been able to see and witness those things. He's not been in a position that, you know, in my presence to show those leadership qualities that he showed last week. I was very impressed by him in the media, his post-game press conference, the Monday presser when we said Alex is going to be the interim head coach, all these things he just did a magnificent job with, and he had a terrific plan for the game, Tony. He said, we're outmanned. He goes, they're super deep, and that's really the deal. I don't know that he felt like their players, let's call it their top 22 or better, they just had more of them. Mm-hmm. And he said, depth-wise, this could really be an issue. And what we're going to do is we're going to slow the game down. Instead of playing the modern hurry-up style, which we sometimes try to do, he said, we're not doing that. We're going to slow it down. We're going to take our time. And we're just going to keep trying to move the ball down the field. And if we can do that, even if we don't score, they don't have the ball, and they're not scoring. And therefore, maybe we can keep the score low enough to where we're still in the game. We're you know what I mean? That it's not out of reach, that we're still in the game. And that was the initial plan. But then we really started playing good football.
Yeah, that sounds great and all. That works only if you're moving the chains. I mean, you got to stay in front of the chains. Now, I'm sitting here looking at the – normally you can look at a stat page and you can kind of say, okay, and if Memphis had five turnovers and UAB had one, I could certainly say, okay, I get it now. You actually lost the turnover battle. You still won the football game. It's just amazing. And I see the 470 yards you had. The time of possession obviously was the big disparity in the game.
Especially the first half.
Yeah, and then, of course, certainly how the end of the game, it was just like, you got to be kidding me, just how that whole thing went down. But so you go into that idea with that game plan. When did he tell you that that's what he was going to do? What day of the week was that when he told you?
I think that was Thursday night.
Okay, so did he tell you that he was going to be going with Ryder as well? Did he say, oh, and by the way, I'm not putting Kitten in, or what?
Well, I want to be careful because, you know, talking about a student's health is something that's you got to be careful with, but he had indicated that Jalen wasn't feeling quite right. He had gotten not injured, but kind of banged up in the Florida Atlantic game, and that he wasn't himself and had missed some practice. And so he was not, it was just a day-to-day thing. It was literally whether or not he could play or not. And so, you know, the thinking was, hey, we may end up going with Ryder. Ryder had been practicing as the starter. because Jalen hadn't felt himself. And he said, then we have an open date and the goal to get Jalen ready by the UConn game, if he feels well.
So you, hold on, you got an interim coach halfway through the season, playing a top 25 team first game ever. There is coach UAB. He's going to slow the game down, and you're talking about a team, obviously, offensively speaking, that's how you win football games because your defense wasn't worth a rip earlier in the season. So you're going to slow it down, and oh, by the way, we're going to be going with our backup quarterback,
Who's never started?
who's never started out of, where's he, Utah? He's out of Utah.
It was at BYU and then West Virginia.
And he goes 20 of 27 for 251 and three TDs. I'm still trying to wrap myself around it because second
makes
biggest
no
upset
sense.
In college football this year. It's
makes
just
no sense.
it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's fantastic, and certainly you cannot afford to go more than a day at a time with this program, like everyone. And of course, you have the bye week. So going into this week, let me ask you this: are you glad you got a bye week, or do you wish you were playing UConn this weekend?
I kind of wish we were playing, honestly, but because. God, I mean, the energy you started the show with, that's the energy around the building and the team, which is so great. I think I said this last week, but maybe not. I still agree with something that Trent Dilfer said to our team after the Florida Atlantic loss. He said, "We do not have a bad football team. We are just playing bad football." He goes, "You guys got," and I think that win maybe is enough for the guys to believe that too and have the confidence to realize, yeah, we're not a bad team. We just, for whatever reason, haven't been playing well. Let me tell you what else slowing the game down did, Tony. When you play hurry up, let's just say I'm the center and you're the left guard. You play hurry up, the receivers are getting a signal from a particular coach as to what they're supposed to do, the running backs, the quarterback, the offensive line, what's the protection, all that stuff. But you're hurrying up. And so when that happens, it's very easy for you and me, we're center and left guard, to miss an assignment. Wait a minute, the guy lined up between us. I thought you had him. No, I thought you had him. No, I got the linebacker who's blitzing. No, the back does. It's easy to miss that stuff and A, just make your standard mistake. But the other thing is, we had 11 penalties against Army. We had 14 penalties against Florida Atlantic. We had four against
Oh,
Memphis.
that's the first thing I saw is the four penalties. And
It,
the only way you can play slow down football is to not penalize yourself. You can the
yeah,
worst
and
thing
I
you can, the
just
worst you
think
get, yeah.
that I also think that it gave everybody on the field this, okay,
Yeah, you were taking
what
a
am I supposed
test
to
and
do here?
you weren't timed on it. I mean, you weren't timed on a
Yeah,
test. You had all
you
the
got
ticket.
him. I got him. You got to, there's a lot of that that you're able to just, okay, take your time, snap the football. And everybody
So can
was
we
quiet.
expect this same type of philosophy going into UConn? Or I
I
mean,
don't know. I mean, and I certainly don't, if I did know, I wouldn't be telling UConn.
yeah, well, I
But
can,
that's
yeah.
what we did last week. And I just think that a lot of it did have to do with Ryder's first start and all those kind of things. UConn is a good football team. And down here in the South, because they're so far away, we probably aren't paying that much attention, or we think, oh, they're in the Northeast, they couldn't be that good. They've got Jim Mora has done a great job up there, and he's put together real talent. They beat Boston College this past weekend, and you go, well, how good are they? I don't know, that man. They're in the ACC. I mean, they're not terrible, and they lost to Syracuse by one touchdown. They lost to Delaware, who I think is a really good team in CUSA, a game that they should have won. They lost by three. But they've, I think UConn is a good team. How are they compared to Memphis? I don't know. But it's
Right.
certainly going to be a real test. It's
Yeah.
going to be another real test. We don't have an easy game the rest of the way. There's
Yeah.
not a team that we play. We have two road games against Rice and Tulsa, and of course UConn, and Tulsa. All of those teams are much improved from last year.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's no doubt. And of course, you do have the bye week this week. You got UConn coming up next. South Florida obviously is having an historically wonderful year based on their first couple of games they played this year. And of course, you got North Texas who had an interesting game this past weekend as well. Yeah, just amazing. Before we end this conversation, by the way, I'm gonna tell everyone out there. You're actually gonna tell everyone out there how you and Bruce Springsteen have something in common. So we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. We want to talk a little classic rock today because there's a new movie out. I want to see if you're gonna go see it. We're not playing good football. Okay, so we played good football. We slowed things down. We
played well on defense.
We played well on defense. That being said, I'm not going to squash it by any stretch. The end of it was amazing because, I mean, if you hadn't gone to replay, and I thought it was a touchdown, I thought the guy got in, and I'm like, thank goodness he didn't, but it was still at the one-foot line. You had four shots at the one-foot line, and then they started talking about penalties, bad penalties. So you know as well as I do that there's no switch here. You just flip a switch on and all of a sudden you start playing. I think everyone's like waiting for the Dallas Cowboys to flip this switch that they have on. Like on paper, they look like they're the best football team week in and week out. For some reason, they just don't play good football. This past weekend they did. Is it a switch? So for UAB, what is it to keep that momentum in place going in? And I would even say, you know, don't overthink it, obviously, but with the bye week, you have to be feeling pretty good about the next game.
Yeah, confidence is a real thing in sports, and I can't state that enough. I mean, having the confidence to know what you're capable of is important. And I do think when you play with confidence, you perform better. And overthinking it, I totally agree. We don't have to go be superhuman. And we did some things the other night that were superhuman. I mean, all three of Ryder Burton's touchdown passes were fantastic. All of them.
Yep.
The second one at the end of the first half to the corner, I don't know how the ball got through the defender to the receiver. I don't know how the receiver caught the ball, and I don't know how he got his foot down. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I tell you that Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and all these guys, Aaron Rodgers, they would all be thrilled to say that they threw and completed that pass. Yep. I mean, it was a spectacular 1% odds chance of being successful, spectacular throw and catch.
Tell us a little about this kid, because, I mean, I love seeing him after the game, too, because, I mean, he looked like a little boy out there just having a good time. Like, this totally flipped him up, too, and he's like, he just kept pointing at Alex. I'm with him. Wherever this guy goes, I'm going with him. And I'm assuming he got recruited by him. But just tell us a little about that story and how that all went down, because he's been waiting to play.
Ryder Burton?
Yeah, he's been waiting 3 years to play football.
Yeah, he has. You know, he starts out at BYU, he transfers to West Virginia, and then I don't know that he was necessarily, and I don't speak for him too much, but basically they hired Rich Rodriguez, who runs an offense different that with a different style of quarterback than is his style of play. So I don't know that he was unhappy there as much as it was just, I don't run that kind of offense. And so he wanted to come to a place that was going to throw the football. And that's how he landed here. And he's gotten in a couple of plays here and there, and our coaches have liked him. They haven't disliked him. Jalen Kitna, for whatever anybody wants to say, has done a lot of really good things. And he is a talented football player, and that's what Alex Mortensen says. That's not Mark Ingram saying. Alex Mortensen would say he is a talented football player. But we, you know, maybe we've given him too much, or maybe we've tried to overcomplicate or something. And again, maybe that it's as much as that. If we do that for Jalen that we did for Ryder, hey, maybe he too has even better success. Don't forget, he was ranked in the top five through the first four games in passing yards. So, you know, there is that. So I think that Ryder just went in and sort of played like, I got nothing to lose here. And he really did. And then he too, not unlike Mortensen, his post-game press conference and comments on the field was like he's done it 100 times.
Yeah, it was great. That was
One of our reporters, you know, that was there, we only have two that come to our games, said, Steve Irvine, I'll say, Steve says to me, he says, Mark, it was like I was talking to Baker Mayfield.
Mm, yeah.
I said, yeah, I mean, and this is coming out of the press conference. I think we're all still just like a buzz of what had just happened. And I was like, yeah, I don't even know what to say, Steve. I don't even know how to respond to that other than to totally agree with you. Yeah, it was a fabulous night.
That's a good, you're going to remember that one, and that's the one that you can stick that in your hat, and you can remember that one for the annals for sure.
We're going to have the Bones Trophy at the basketball game tonight.
There you go.
So people can take their picture with it. I just encourage people to please don't try to pick it up. It weighs like 95 pounds.
It is not
some little trophy that you hold up. I mean, it's like you got to use the legs.
That is one big rack of ribs. Let's talk about some basketball real quick. You got this exhibition thing going on. And then when does the regular season start?
Well, we've got two exhibition games. So the first game, first regular season game here is in 2 weeks. So we're 10 days. So we're Vanderbilt tonight, and then we've got Western Kentucky next week, both exhibition games, and we're using the revenue to help offset our needs from a revenue sharing perspective for our team. So I encourage our fans to come out, not just to support the team in person and, you know, to cheer for them, but also know that we're trying our best in a lot of creative ways to generate the funds that we need to be competitive this year and ongoing, and we've dedicated the proceeds from these two games to that effort. So every little bit helps, even if you're a person buying one ticket. Hey, man, we thank you for doing that, and know that it does matter. So we hope everybody will come out.
Yeah, and get down there and check out the new team, man. I get 12 new faces down there, and I mean, if you think you know UAB basketball, get down there. You'll know the coach, and everyone's on the bench, but you're going to have to get down there and check out those players. And also, you know, we have to remember the AAC tournament's going to be right here in Birmingham coming up. And I know that UAB always has a good showing in that, and that's going to be great to have that that home court advantage, if you will, down at the BJCC. So great stuff. Well, congratulations, man. I mean, I was so happy for you, and I texted you right after it happened, and I was happy to hear that that you texted me back, because I know you had a lot going on. I'm sure you're getting a lot of congratulatory. Listen, this goes all the way up the chain. I don't think people realize, you know, when you make a coaching change, it affects everybody. And I think the first thing is people like, oh, they're getting all this money and blah, blah, blah. Man, you're moving families, you're moving kids, you know, you're here for 2 or 3 years and you're changing lives, man. You're changing all these lives underneath you, and it goes really, really deep. And so I can imagine what it's like. I think the fact that he's got the equity and the lineage there of Chris Mortensen certainly does not hurt, because he is just such a beloved TV personality for years and years and years, and you certainly see that his comfortability on television. Alex, so I think that has a lot to play into it too.
Yeah, Alex has really handled himself very well. That what you're saying about his dad seems obvious, and I totally agree. But I will also say, and yet he like Ryder Burton has never been in a position to demonstrate that.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question. You're not going to answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Right.
What do you think Trent Dilfer was feeling like after that game?
He was thrilled. We traded text messages on Sunday about
it. How the hell did we pull that off? I mean, and I thought Alex was great. The first thing he did was, hey, listen, this is Trent Dilfer's team. He brought the culture in. He did. I thought that was very eloquent and very, very well said. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Beautiful. But yeah, just to see that team look so different than it has looked the first 5-6 weeks of the season was just like, what did I just watch here?
Yeah, but look, he knows what they're capable of. He is no less frustrated with their lack of success than anybody else is. I mean, it's not like he was watching thinking, oh, it's okay. You know, even if he may not have come out and screamed at a press conference about how they played, he would just more calmly say, I'm disappointed, or, you know, whatever. But he was thrilled for the players. He was thrilled for Alex. He was thrilled for the coaches. And yes, he was thrilled for our fans. He knows how much that win means to everybody. And he's glad that we're able to do it.
Hey, there's a brand new movie coming out about Bruce Springsteen. I'm a little, I think it's like 70 on Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty good. I'm not a huge, fan of Bruce Springsteen. But I'm also one of those guys where I feel like I need to go watch it because I've played his music for so long. This guy named Jeremy Allen White, plays Bruce Springsteen in the movie. And so he's out there and he's got the perfect look, right? And so, they're like, okay, what are you going to do about your singing and your guitar playing? And he said, I don't play guitar. I've never picked up a guitar and I've never sang. And they're like, okay, well, you got 6 months. So in the movie, he's doing all the singing, which is amazing to me because I didn't know he could sing. And playing guitar. I wanted to ask you, have you ever played an instrument? Yeah, exactly. Have you ever played an instrument? And if you had to, like if you're in a movie role and someone says, Mark, we're going to pay you $4 million to be the lead in this movie, but you have to do a castaway thing where you have to get down to like 75 pounds or something. You'll figure it out. You'll say,
listen. My prayer. Yeah. Please come in and say this. maybe that's what I need. I was a percussionist, Tony. I played drums. My dad was a drummer, and we had a drum set in the house. And so I started banging around on that when I was a little kid. And think he got it when I was in, seriously, like kindergarten or something. I remember he got it. My mother got it for him for his birthday. And I remember the house we were in. So I was kindergarten, first grade, something like that. And so I always banged around on those drums. And then in middle school, you could take, like, I don't know, there was a couple of electives, and I don't even remember, like, let's say it was like shop class or home ec class or band. And I actually did band because I could more formally learn how to, the proper sticking and all that stuff. And I did that for a couple of years, but that evolves into high school band, and I played football. And so I could not continue to do that. I love playing the drums.
If you put everything you had into it, do you think you could be band ready in 6 months?
Oh yeah.
Really? Okay, good.
Listen, what band?
Yeah, well, I'm just some band ready. I mean, you're talking about opening up for the Black Crowes.
I can do that. I can't. Okay. You want me to open up for the Rolling Stones?
Yeah.
I can Charlie Watts that thing all day.
Yeah.
But I can't. Don't ask me to play Hot for Teacher. This is not happening.
That pisses me off because I know people, friends of mine, who have just picked up a guitar and they just fool around with it. And I haven't seen them like in 3 months. And I get over to their house and they're sitting there playing Led Zeppelin cuts. I'm like, where'd this come from? I get home every night and smoke one. And next thing you know, I'm playing guitar. And I've taken guitar lessons. I cannot learn a lick. Everything I have to do, everything is hard for me. I have to, and it's not that I don't want to learn how to play. I just, my fingers don't feel right. But I'd love to be able to play.
Yeah. I tried guitar also as a little kid, and I was honestly just too young. I should not have tried, like my little hands couldn't get around the neck. It was just very frustrating. I wasn't old enough or mature enough to understand what I was trying to even what am I trying to do?
Yeah.
I'm strumming and I'm making a sound. And anyway, but my son Charlie, who's our third child, he wanted a guitar for Christmas, and he got a guitar this past Christmas. And really, within a few months, he was playing some very basic songs. The thing that people have now to their advantage is there's all these different apps that teach you and YouTube videos that teach you how to do things. And so he just sort of self-taught. He's never had a lesson. He's not doing this up and down the neck. It's basic strumming and move, and he's moving around, but frankly, more impressive than I would have ever guessed. I mean,
A lot of it's just reading music too. And I got a piano downstairs that I would give anything. I have that Anchorman fantasy where, I'm out with a hot chick and someone says, come on up, play a song, Tone. I'm like, no. Next thing you know, I'm up there tickling the ivories and I'm blowing everybody off the stage. They're like, whoa,
What just happened?
Yeah, what just happened? That's great stuff. All right, my man. Enjoy your victory. Congratulations to you. I'm so happy for you. We'll catch up next week and enjoy your bye week, and we'll get ready for some hoops later on tonight. But thank you for everything you do. I just got a text from Ted, your SID, and looking forward to having Alex Mortensen on our television show on ABC 3340. Thank you so much for setting that up, 10:30, 11 o'clock. That made me look good coming up on Saturday. So happy to have him on, and I can't wait to get him on with Kip Kiefer and myself this weekend. So thank you for that as well.
Absolutely. Go Blazers.
Go Blazers.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.